Director Robert Zemeckis won an Oscar for his work on Forrest Gump. He's also the director of the classic Back to the Future films. But in his new project, Zemeckis explores a time period that's new to him. Allied stars Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard, spies who meet in Casablanca during World War II. Their mission is to pose as husband and wife to assassinate a German ambassador at a party.
The guns will be taped under the champagne table. The ambassador arrives at precisely 8:30.
If he's late?
He's German. He'll be on time.
Now, it gets complicated when Max and Marianne betray the common sense of their industry. They fall in love and marry. And things get really complicated when Marianne is suspected of being a German double agent. Allied opens in theaters tomorrow, and Robert Zemeckis joins us now from New York. Robert, welcome.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Now, we've read that doing a film set during World War II is actually something you've been meaning to do for a long time. Why is that?
Well, I grew up watching World War II movies, watching World War II television shows. It was something that I became a amateur World War II historian. Something that was a historical time that always appealed to me and I was interested in. So when this project came along, I thought, okay, this will be fun.
Did those TV shows and films from your childhood influence this film?
Well, I don't know if they were very different. I mean, because those were mainly films, you know, the ones I was watching as a little kid were – they had a lot of action, a lot of battles and things like that. But this film's mainly – World War II is the backdrop. I mean, this is mainly a romance set in World War II. So I guess it helped me just sort of know what things should look like and, I don't know, certain phraseology, terminology, uniforms, things like that.
Yeah, well, let's play a scene from the movie. Here's Brad Pitt's character, Max, when he's confronted by his boss, played by the great Jared Harris, who some of us might know from Lane Price on Mad Men. Mm-hmm. And Max has just been told that Marianne, his wife, is a German spy.
My wife is not a spy.
If she is, we need to keep her in place for 72 hours so that we can identify her handler and clean out the rest of her circuit.
No.
Now, Stephen Knight, who wrote the screenplay, says that this was inspired by a true story and that, in fact, this sort of nightmare scenario actually happened in real life. Is that right?
That's what he told me. I haven't found any actual documentation of it, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen because it all happened in the world of secret agents and things like that.
And the hardest thing about the situation that Max is in is that if, in fact, his wife is a spy, he will have to kill her with his own hands. And I think that gets us to a part of the theme of the film, which is that sometimes anyone who's ever been married might have confronted the fact that we don't really maybe know exactly who it is that we've fallen in love with.
Exactly right. And I think that's the universal idea, the universal theme, if you will, the thing that makes it a story that everyone can identify with. Obviously the World War II setting raises the stakes, but the underlying idea that you may not know exactly who you're married to is a very common idea, universal idea.
And watching the film, I felt this sort of underlying sense of foreboding or doom to come. I mean, I imagine you were playing with our emotions a little bit there.
Yeah, it was done consciously. I mean, I think that you very subtly get a sense that maybe this isn't going to end well. And you get this feeling that, you know, these two people who are obviously very passionately in love, there's something just not quite right.
Well, let's hear a little bit more from the film. Here's a scene at that party where they're supposed to be planning their assassination of the ambassador. Max whispers to Marianne that the ambassador could be late, which could throw off the entire mission. Let's listen to that.
Il est en retard. Qu'est-ce qu'il fait?
Okay, so that was in French.
I played
that because here we have Brad Pitt speaking a lot of French. What kind of extra effort did that take?
Well, he worked really hard on that, and it was great because Marianne helped him the whole time, and she
native French speaker.
And she wanted him to speak perfect Parisian French, which his character is supposed to do. So she was pretty hard on him, but I can't speak French, so I had to rely on all of our technical advisors and, of course, Marianne and Brad. But he did a really good job.
When you're shooting a scene with actors who don't speak the language they're trying to speak, how many takes do you have to do?
You do the same amount as if they're speaking English. I mean, you have one more person who has to weigh in, which is the – like I said, whoever the language dialogue coach is, French-speaking dialogue coach, I'll do a take and it feels good performance-wise, and then I'll look back at the dialogue coach and he'll say, well, you know, he kind of missed this little word and this little thing and this thing here, and so we have to do another one and we'll do it again. And it's just like doing a take in your native language. You just have one more thing that you have to do.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, this film has a really old Hollywood feel to it, the way it looks. In fact, the first quarter of it takes place in Casablanca, which, I don't know, feels like it could be an homage to the classic film. Was that deliberate?
Well, you know, the script was set in Casablanca, and it's important to the story. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, the film Casablanca is such an iconic film that any time another movie set in that era, which is the 1940s, is in Casablanca, it's going to feel like a homage. But it was important to the story because, you know, when we did the research and I read the screenplay, you know, Casablanca in the early 40s was really exactly like the movie Casablanca. It was full of spies and shady characters, and there was a lot going on there. And it was also a very glamorous place because it was considered to be the Riviera of North Africa, and it had a very sophisticated, you know, French influence, and so it was very much like the actual movie. So it feels like a homage, but we were presenting it very accurately.
Your resume is filled with films that have become classics. Let's listen to this.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Okay, you know this very well, but for those who don't, that was Back to the Future that we just heard. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And, of course, Forrest Gump. Robert Zemeckis, what is it about those movies that you made that made them so great?
well, I'm probably the last person who can answer that question. You know, I was just doing the best I could to make the movie, you know, work and enjoyable and entertaining. You know, I guess if I were to really, you know, be honest about it and break it down, I think it's because they're, you know, they're characters that are endearing and timeless. I really believe that that's the thing that, you know, would make a film sort of last for decades and stay in the pop culture mentality of the
Marty McFly and people like Forrest Gump.
And people like Forrest Gump. But, you know, I mean, sort of the innocence of Forrest is something that's very charming and very like lovable and people identify with. Plus, there's also, you know, Forrest Gump has a lot of the theme, you know, in Forrest Gump are all different sorts of love. You know, it's love of a mother for a child, the love of two deep friends with, you know, Forrest and Lieutenant Dan's, you know, relationship and, you know, obviously the romantic story between Forrest and Jenny. And, you know, so there's a lot of universal themes in that movie, of course.
Yeah. And when you're making a film, do you have a sense that this one will become a classic or does it sometimes surprise you after
No, I think you can never know that. All you ever hope for is that, you know, people, you know, will go to the movie and no one can ever know that or feel that in the process as something that happens after the fact. And that's why I said I'm probably the last person who could ever actually explain why these films have lasted as long as they have. That's something I think that film scholars will have to do.
Among your long list of films, where do you think Allied will end up?
I have no idea. I think that people who go see the movie are going to really have a really entertaining time. And it's a story about an incredibly passionate love story between two people, which is something that is a rarity in the filmscape these days. So it's something that is not seen has not been seen for a while. And I think people will enjoy it if they go see it. Now, whether it's going to last after, you know, the opening weekend or not, I have no idea.
Now, that's going to be stressful as a filmmaker.
Well, that's the way, you know, that's the way the movie business has always been. You know, it's a very risky venture. You know, it's what makes it very nerve-wracking and at the same time very exhilarating.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask you before we go, because earlier this fall, The film Allied became the focus of rumors when Brad Pitt's marriage to Angelina Jolie was breaking up. Now, I don't want to go into it at all. I don't really care about that. But the rumor was that Marion Cotillard was a possible cause. She's publicly denied it. I want to know from you whether you're frustrated by this sort of distraction in Hollywood when all you're doing here is trying to make a film, to put it out, to have people go out and watch it, and all of a sudden there's this drama around it. Does that frustrate you?
Well, it's very frustrating, and it's very disrespectful to all the people who are involved, you know, because it takes the focus off of what we're trying to do with the movie, and it becomes this thing about celebrity rather than the work that these two magnificent actors did in the piece.
Do you have to address that with your staff?
There's not really a lot we can do. I mean, the only way I know how to address it is to put the movie out in front, you know, and let the movie speak for itself.
Robert Zemeckis, thank you very much.
Thank you.